Hello and welcome to another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as always, your host for the show. Today, we're joined by Willa Block of Cisco Canada and Michael Friedrich of Taking It Global to talk about the work they're doing together on the Connected North project and the big Next 150 campaign they've launched in particular. To many members of the Channel community, Connected North is a familiar topic, but for those who may not be aware of the program, Willa and Michael take us through the history of Connected North, which is dedicated to using technology to help students in northern communities access educators, cultural figures, and other important points of contact across Canada. They detail how many northern schools the program is already helping and where they see it going, with the hopes that for Indigenous communities, the next 150 looks very different from the first 150. It's a great conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with Willa and Michael. Willa, Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Certainly the topic of Connected North is nothing new to the Canadian Channel, and I know the partner community, the distributor community, and the whole community has been involved for a long time. But for listeners who may not be entirely familiar with Connected North, can you provide us with sort of a little bit of the background of how we got to where we are today with Connected North, sort of the launch of it, its raison d'etre, and its path that has led to taking IT global?
Super. So I'll start with that, and then I'll ask Michael to jump in. So Cisco Canada is enormously proud of the work we have done with the Connected North program, and it is something that we founded here in approximately 2012. We were looking at a way that we could build a strategic CSR capability for Cisco Canada, and we knew that to do that, that our technology should lie at the heart of it. Mm-hmm. And we began sort of a two-year journey researching what communities we could support, what issues we could address, what transformation we could drive with our technology and our collaboration solutions in particular. It didn't take us too long to make the connection to Indigenous communities. And, you know, given the high profile of some of the struggles in those communities, the very high dropout rates in schools, the high incidence of youth suicide, compounded with the real challenges of trying to get resources into those remote communities, really helped us with a roadmap to what we wanted to do. I actually had made contact with Mary Simon, who at the time was the leader of the Inuit Peoples of Canada. And I actually had her come in for a demo, a telepresence demo. I'll never forget. We were sitting, she was in Ottawa and I was in Toronto, and she saw the technology. And I said, Mary, if we could make this work, if we could do this, you know, we could bring all kinds of resources into the classroom. You know, we could connect kids in the north with kids in the south. We could do incredible cultural sharing. We could bring in resources from all across the country and around the world. We could take kids to the Royal Tyrrell Dinosaur Museum for virtual field trips. And Mary, who really was focused on trying to build attendance in schools, trying to engage kids in schools, said, you know what, anything that makes that classroom more fun, I'm all in. And so we began a pilot in Iqaluit in 2014, which went very well. Literally within 2 weeks of being in that school, the teachers were asking us about all kinds of things that we could do over the network. You know, could we deliver teacher PD, training and development? Could we connect, you know, elders in their community with elders in different communities? Mm-hmm. Could we connect with schools in Africa? And so, you know, we really grew the program based on the input that we received from the teachers and the students. It was very organic in its growth. We went from one school to five schools pretty quickly within sort of 18 months, and we expanded into the Northwest Territories and into Northern Ontario. We had phenomenal partnerships in the form of service providers, SSI Micro, SaskTel, NorthwestTel, KNET, who really worked closely with us to make sure that we could drive the solution, and that we could make, you know, satellite-based telepresence happen. And it got to the point where there was a lot of demand, and we had really, really phenomenal research results that really spoke to the power of what we were doing, and the service. Again, we were delivering, you know, an hour or so a day into some of these schools, and we had to make a decision at Cisco. Would we just keep it where it was in sort of the, at that point, the 10 schools we were operating in, or would we go big, and would we really devote ourselves to embedding this new network and this new model into Indigenous schools across the country, and delivering social services on demand and driving these connections and supporting cultural growth in the spirit of reconciliation. And so we made the decision to spin it out of Cisco, and that's where Taking It Global comes in, and I'll pass it over to Michael in a moment. But, you know, it was a really fascinating case study for us at Cisco, because it's really the first time we've spun out an initiative as a not-for-profit, which is now positioned to scale across the country, and we believe emphatically at Cisco that this is a model that is needed in these communities. These communities should have internet-based 21st century digital education. They should have this connectivity. They should have this access to services. It levels the playing field for the kids in the north and the kids in the south, you know, who would otherwise not have access to these kinds of opportunities and these engagements. And Taking It Global has been an unbelievable partner, and I'll pass it over to Michael in a second, but they've taken the program to a new level by really focusing on the content. It's one thing to have this network out there. It means nothing unless we have the really powerful content on demand that goes with it. And so with that, I'll turn it over to Michael, and you can talk about how many schools we're in and what we're doing now.
Sure, thanks, Willa. So Taking It Global, for any of your listeners who haven't heard of us, is a 17-year-old charity. We were founded at kind of the cusp of the dot-com boom in 1999 by my co-founder and I as high school students. And the broad mandate we came up with at that time was really to help young people understand and act on the world's greatest challenges, and in particular to use technology as a tool to make learning more engaging. And so we've been on this journey for almost two decades now of looking at how, you know, all the latest ICT has been able to bring learning to life for students all around the world, but in particular in Canada, there is, you know, a challenge in disengagement, not just in northern schools, but, you know, the majority of high school students, even in, you know, our major urban centers, don't necessarily feel intellectually engaged on a daily basis. So we feel like, you know, immersive access and experiences with technology can play a big role in addressing that. And that's why for us, you know, taking on this opportunity and challenge of the Connect to North program was such a great fit as a charity to kind of bring it forward into the future. Obviously, with Cisco's leadership as a core partner, and then to build an ecosystem of technology partners, content providers, service providers, and supporters that bring the program to life. So two of the things we're really focused on right now are Indigenous role models and mentors. So one of the, there's a lot of research that shows that, you know, positive adult role models is one of the, you know, key contributing factors to young people's, you know, successful development and mental health. And so, you know, using the telepresence technology to give them access to those people between their communities and then between North and South is really key. You know, flights between communities or down to the South can cost thousands of dollars, but, you know, it's much more realistic to be able to do a video conference each day than it is to fly someone up there.
Yeah.
And there are some amazing opportunities for cultural exchange between communities as well. So that's a big priority for us. Language revitalization is also key. It's a priority for many of the communities we serve, and it's something that we're hoping to address with work in Inuktitut, in Ojibwe, in Cree. You know, how do we use this technology to bring that language learning, bring elders into schools and communities, and to foster cultural exchange? So those are two big priorities for this year, and a new one coming up for us is also strengthening future pathways. You know, how do we help these young people get more access to post-secondary education experiences, and how do we get those who do graduate and those who do get into the industry and into fields, how do we help them contribute back to their communities and help more young people, you know, graduate into these careers and get excited about their futures?
All right, brilliant. A great cause, and something that's been exciting to see grow over the last 5 years or so and continue to evolve. Now, the most recent things you guys have been up to in terms of a Cisco-related campaign is right around the time of Canada 150, you guys announced the next 150. Can you tell us a little bit about that campaign, kind of what the goal is and what you're up to?
Sure. Thanks very much. So we're really excited about this campaign. You know, I've always said when I speak about Connected North at industry events, building out this network, delivering these virtual services, introducing this kind of IT capability in these communities, this is something only our industry is poised to do. And you know, we've, as you highlighted earlier on in the conversation, Rob, we've had amazing support from the channel community. We've had incredible support from Cisco customers. We've now got partnerships with the federal government, with territorial governments, with provincial governments to really scale this. You know, the whole thinking was, let's get this proof of concept out there. Let's do the heavy lifting. Let's go to these communities with this offer. And let's, you know, let's drive this kind of digital transformation. And, you know, it's, the momentum has been absolutely incredible. And, you know, we're going to be in over 30 schools this year, which is an incredible achievement. And, you know, we're scaling. We've got an awful lot of interest. And so we've reached that inflection point now. We've got a very strong focus on sustainability. And, you know, we're so pleased now that we see governments like the government of Nunavut stepping in as an active partner to really work with us to underwrite this, to scale it, to help deploy it, to support it. And you know, that's sort of our vision. You know, we're really hoping that, you know, this approach, this digital capability, the Connected North session services, that these will become kind of a de facto standard in these schools. And it's interesting that a lot of the schools have really embraced 21st century learning, and they're ahead in some cases of some of their southern counterparts. So because we have this momentum, because we're at this inflection point, you know, we really need to raise a significant amount of money to help the folks at Taking It Global really scale it. And I'll let Michael talk about specifically what we're after, but we need more people, we need more resources, we need more content. You know, we have this phenomenal vision of, you know, being able to link every single cultural institution in Canada onto the network. So, you know, so more folks like the Vancouver Aquarium, like the Winnipeg Art Gallery, like the Terrell Dinosaur Museum, can deliver virtual classrooms. You know, we need this huge digital platform of content. And we don't really have it in this country to the extent that we need it. So that's what the next 150 is all about. So it is, we're trying to galvanize all Cisco employees, all of our partners, you know, all of the community. We've got a bunch of events planned, you know, the channel. And we want everybody to help us and to get engaged. And whether or not it's in kind or whether or not it's in cash or whether or not it's in spirit, we want everybody involved because, as I said, this is something the country, that these communities can really benefit from, that we are uniquely poised to deliver. And we want to be very forward-looking, and we specifically called it the Next 150 campaign because, you know, we have a difficult history in this country with our relationships with Indigenous peoples over the last 150 years. And we want to look forward to what's possible, and we want to help these communities to thrive and grow. And we want to partner with them to make that happen. And so that's what the Next 150 campaign is all about. It's going to go, we've launched it in June. It's going to last till December 31st. I'll let Michael pick it up now and talk a little bit from his perspective on why it's important.
Yeah, I think one of the keys for us is that we have never asked schools to pay anything for this program. It's really delivered through this ecosystem approach where, you know, Cisco has brought the technology to the table, the service providers have helped with the bandwidth, and then the content is funded through different partners in different parts of the country. And so the Next 150 campaign is all about enabling us to support and add, you know, additional schools to the program without asking anything of them, because in many cases, these schools are already under-resourced, you know, especially the schools in communities that are federally funded currently are receive less funding per student than their provincial counterparts. So it's all about making the program accessible to schools without asking anything of them. And it's also, as Willa mentioned, I think it's key that we're not just serving the teachers and schools and communities, but we're also serving these institutions in Canada. One of our newest partners is the Art Gallery of Ontario here in Toronto. Huh. And many of these organizations, like the Vancouver Aquarium, have in their mandate to do more digital learning and digital collaboration. And so this program is also strengthening their capacity to do outreach, to do education, and to reach, you know, remote communities beyond just our Connected North schools, but, you know, in their catchment areas, whether that's in northern BC and Vancouver or the AGO, you know, communities all over Ontario.
All right. You touched on sort of a number of activities and events that will be going on around Next 150. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? What can folks get involved with? Can they sort of see the benefits of Connected North and play their own role in the Next 150?
So we have events that we're going to be running across the country in every one of our major centers. And sort of the brief to all the team is, if you run an event, engage the whole community, include customers, include partners. Mm. So, you know, we're working on an amazing event in Vancouver, which we're going to be holding in an Indigenous art gallery. We're working on poker nights. We're working on bowling tournaments. We're working on an ice hockey tournament. We're working on all kinds of stuff. And so we have a whole calendar of events, which is going to launch between, we've got our first golf tournament in Ottawa next Tuesday, the 19th. And we've had phenomenal participation in that. We're just thrilled. And so we're probably going to be running about 10 events across the country from now up until December 31st. So we'll be promoting those, in the regions where they take place and nationally and on Twitter and social media. So we really hope we get tremendous uptake and support. And they'll be fun, too. And, the event that we're going to be doing with the channel, which I can't share too many details right now because it's still in the works, but, you know, it's going to be under the banner of Tech for Good. And, there's so many things that we as an industry can do that really drive change. And we've got such a unique skill set and expertise. And, you know, there's the wonderful thing about Connected North is that it's really worked. It's had incredible impact. It has driven change. It has engaged students. We're focusing really hard with our content now on building resilience in these kids. And it's because of technology that's all happening. So I just want people in the industry to be aware of what we're capable of when we roll up our sleeves and we get out there and we do something.
And for your listeners who might want to learn a bit more about the initiative and the events, our website at connectednorth.org has a great video overview of the program that kind of highlights a number of the sessions and schools who participated. And then if you Google Cisco Next 150, there's a landing page on Cisco's site that highlights the Next 150 initiative specifically and some of the activities and events that are going on.
And that'll be in the show notes for this podcast as well for those who want to more directly make that connection. You point out sort of the unique position of folks in the IT industry to do this thing. And sort of the flip side of that is this is a way for channel partners, for service providers, for everyone in the IT community really to get involved in a very important case, yes, and very, very important social activity. In a way also that allows them to highlight their skills and bring those skills to bear and be able to show that to their future customers as well. It's it's all around a pretty exciting opportunity for many of these folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think in Canada, part of our national pride is, our connectivity and our diversity and the fact that, 99% of young people across the country have access to the internet outside of school. But what about that 1%? And I feel like, as an industry more broadly, I feel like everyone should get excited about the fact that we have a very real opportunity over this next decade with the investments the government's been making and what the industry's been making to close that gap and to kind of complete that final percent and to really engage the North in a meaningful way in opportunities and in technology and in learning that will not only provide them with enhanced education outcomes, but really sustainable livelihoods and opportunities to build their skills and then progress into careers that are meaningful and fruitful for them.
This has been an amazing coming together of our ecosystem at Cisco in ways that have staggered me. Like, it's just been incredible. We have had donations of bandwidth from service providers. We have had fundraisers, held by incredible partners like Tech Data, for example. Rick Reed and his team have done an absolutely amazing job. We've had teams of engineers fan out across northern communities working in 50 below degree temperatures trying to track fiber lines. We've had other partners help us with donations of equipment and engineering capabilities. We've just seen so much heart from the whole community, organizations and individuals giving in ways that they can and sharing of their expertise and and their generosity. And, you know, the nice thing about it is that it's all kind of harnessed to this one very simple idea of bringing resources to kids who otherwise wouldn't, as Michael said, otherwise wouldn't have access to them. And shouldn't every single child in this country have that equal access? Because they deserve it. And, you know, when you're in these communities, I'll tell you, the spirit of partnership has been incredible. You know, I've been at this now personally for 7 years, and it's the way we are welcomed into these communities, the partnerships we've been able to forge. I mean, Taking It Global is just taking it to a whole new level. They go in with humility and authenticity and openness. And, I mean, I think our content is strong because of the great collaboration we've been able to forge, and the respect in which we approach the entire job. And I'll say that on behalf of the community, every single person who's been involved with this as we've gone in the community has gone in with such, you know, goodwill and respect for the incredible culture that we have found in the different communities that we've been in.
All right, brilliant. I appreciate you both taking the time to share a little bit about what you guys are up to and what you have been up to and what you will be up to. And certainly wish you all the best with the next 150 and achieving some of those lofty goals that you've outlined. Thank you so much, and all the best of luck.
Thanks, Rob. Take care.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it, a look at Connected North with Willa Black and Michael Friedrich. I'd like to thank Willa and Michael for joining us for the podcast, and thank Cisco Canada for its sponsorship of the site. And, of course, thank you for listening and joining in today. I hope you're moved by the discussion, and you'll check out opportunities to participate in the next 150 on Cisco's website. Hey, the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast will be back later this week, as we'll be joined by Ingram Micro Canada Cloud Czar Greg Onoprienko. It's been a while since we checked in on Ingram's cloud business, but there's a lot going on with high-profile executives joining the fold, some interesting new directions, and lots of momentum to talk about. But until then, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.